This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 podcast.
And we welcome you back to the program. Second hour is live. We'll talk a little bit about the life and times of Henry Aaron, who will be memorialized tomorrow. Let's check in with Jim in Virginia. Hey, Jim, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I just want to say I'm a big fan of your show, and I think you do an excellent job.
Thank you very much.
Saying that, you obviously know a lot about football, and, you know, during the season, I'm a big Tennessee fan and SEC fan. A lot of your predictions are spot on. I was just wondering why you wouldn't consider coaching a team, maybe.
There's a really good reason, Jim. I know absolutely nothing about coaching. It's one thing to be a Monday morning quarterback and to sit there and watch a game yesterday. And I felt like I knew more than the Green Bay head coach. But
I agree.
In that case, I think I could have done a better job. But frankly, there are very few things that I'm qualified for, so I am going to continue to try to do those that I am versus those that I am not.
Well, I figured I'd throw that out there and keep it up. You do a great job.
Well, I mean, if they want to offer me $7 million a year, I'll be there tomorrow. Hey, I know how to get to Knoxville. Hey, thank you. Keith is up next in Long Island. Hey, Keith, you're on the air.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Keith, we're doing great. Hope you are.
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Don't kid anybody. You got $7 million in your left pocket. Let's be honest.
How did you know that?
Listen, the thing that regarding a Tennessee coach, I don't understand why these guys aren't going after someone like Tom Allen. They might be, and I don't know about it, but I haven't seen anything. He's done a great job at Indiana, Indiana – in football terms, is not a great, is not a legendary football power. So,
Keith, I think he's a terrific coach.
A guy like that could do wonders.
I agree. I watched a couple of his games this year. And I think it was the game that his son got hurt was really gut-wrenching to watch. But I would agree. I think he is, compared to the last couple of coaches Tennessee has had, Tom Allen would be overqualified.
Yeah, well, he seems to be a very strong recruiter, and he seems to be a really, really good X's and O's guy because he's going head-to-head with all those guys in the Big Ten right now and beating them, or coming very, very close to it.
No, it's a really good point. I'm not saying he wouldn't get it, but I do think he's a name to keep your eyes on for other jobs, maybe not the Tennessee job. I'm not sure he would want that job, frankly. Rob is in North Carolina. Hey, Rob.
How's it going? Paul, I'm a professor over here at Wake Forest, and we love our head coach, Dave Clawson, who's done a great job here at Wake Forest and built many a program. And the greatest act of irony, is there any chance Tennessee swoops in and steals John Curry's head coach, or do you think we're safe?
I think you are safe, although certainly there's a connection there, as you probably know. And I am really impressed. I've kept my eye on him for the last couple of years, and I think I'm not diminishing the resources of Wake Forest, which are enormous. But to have a successful football program there year in year out is unusual, and I think he's done great. How is John Curry working out, by the way? That will, huh? But Clawson's great. He's got some experience in Knoxville as well. Albert is also in North Carolina. We're going to be spending a lot of time in the Tar Heel State. Albert, go right ahead. You are on the air.
Paul, how you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you for the call.
I want to wanted to talk to you about Alabama.
Okay.
How do you think they did? Are you impressed?
Impressed?
I can't believe it. I can't believe they had such a great year, you know, coming back from a couple of really off years. And all of a sudden, they just it's just like a flower blooming. You know, it hadn't been blooming for a while, and then all of a sudden it explodes.
Well, Albert, let's look at the facts. 2 years ago, they were undefeated until the last game, so I would hardly call that a disaster, although the last game was a disaster, losing by 28 points. Last year, they did lose twice, so they've lost three times in three seasons. I think this year was just a combination of things. It was a confluence of Nick Saban being able to handle the pandemic better than anyone else. And he also had the good fortune of keeping Steve Sarkisian, who was considering going to Colorado in the offseason. What Sarkisian did in taking Mac Jones from a serviceable quarterback to the best quarterback in the country was beyond comprehension. And I think a lot of other things all came together, but I think mostly it came together because he had some players there, Devontae Smith, Najee Harris, Dickerson, others that had all been around for a while. And he kept his coaching staff in place for the first time in a while. And I think that led to what we saw 2 weeks ago tonight.
Paul? You know, 50% of the reason Alabama won that football game?
What's that?
Number 58, Christian Barmore.
Oh, he was unbelievable. I agree with you.
Oh, holy mackinoli. He just is unbelievable. I want to ask you one other thing, and I'll let you go. I know
sure.
You got a lot of people waiting.
No.
Tell me about Bill O'Brien. I just don't know anything about him.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit. Bill O'Brien is a disciple of Bill Belichick. He was the offensive coordinator for a lot of the successful years of the Patriots. He went to Penn State and took over there after the debacle with not the debacle with Sandusky, but the aftermath of that when the school was literally leveled by the NCAA, and he did a phenomenal job. Nobody thought they would win at all, and he was quite successful for a fairly short period of time, but he still did extremely well. He went to the Texans, where he did a good job until he was fired this year when things started to trail off, but there was a team in the playoffs a decent amount, and he's got a great background. He could probably be a head coach at a lot of places. But he wants to spend some time being a coordinator. So
I hope he does a great job.
I don't have any doubt he will be a fantastic coach. Let's check in with Joe, who is in Tennessee. Hey, Joe, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today, sir?
We are doing well, Joe. Thank you.
I don't know. I live in Fairfield Glade. I don't know how much you know about the area.
What part of where is that?
It's north of Crossville. It's like a golf retirement community.
Oh, okay. Sounds nice.
Sometimes I feel like I'm the only guy here from south of the Ohio River. But anyway, I wanted to know if you could replay Jeff's call after the Ohio State loss.
I
missed it.
Yeah, well, it was typical, Joe, of a guy from Ohio licking his wounds. Hey, It wasn't that memorable, I can assure you of that. Morgan is up next in Alabama. Hey, Morgan, you're on the air.
Yes, hey, a previous caller said something about David Tuckwell. I kind of always wondered, is it general knowledge that he almost was the Bama coach?
No,
Saban hadn't taken?
It is not general knowledge, but you're right. He was almost the fail-safe coach because – you know, Saban originally turned the Alabama job down. Then they went to Spurrier, and he said no. And then they did offer it to Rich Rodriguez in a now infamous moment that he took it and then backed out, thank goodness. And Mal Moore decided to wait on Saban. And you're right. If Saban had backed out after Mal Moore, after he waited for him for a couple of days in Fort Lauderdale, Cutcliffe very well would have gotten the job.
You know, and if he could have gotten a job like that, you would think Tennessee would probably at least give him a chance to come back there.
Well, I think if truth be known, Morgan, they offered the job to Cutcliffe. Tennessee's had so many openings. I'm trying to remember when it was. I believe it was when Derek Dooley got the job. However, I think they tried to put some stipulations on who he had to keep on the staff, and Cutcliffe said, skip it. I'll do what I want to do. Although I've always wondered about that, because if you go to a school and are successful, ultimately you can shape your own staff. But after that, I don't think Cutcliffe wanted too much to do with UT anymore. We will take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk to a close friend of Henry Aaron, who grew up in Mobile, Alabama, like Henry, went on to become the mayor of the city and played a key role in bringing multiple honors for the late Henry Aaron in his hometown. We'll talk to the former mayor, Sam Jones.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here. And we spent so much time on Friday, remembering the late Henry Aaron, and we in the whole world is still reflecting on his greatness as we get ready to say the final goodbyes to him tomorrow. We're joined now by Sam Jones, who is the former mayor of Mobile, Alabama. He is currently a state representative in the Alabama State House, and someone whose family grew up close to and friendly with, very close friendly with, friends with Hank Aaron. Representative Jones, thank you. It's so great to have you on. We hope you're well.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
We're delighted to hear your remembrances of Henry Aaron. What's your first memory of the great baseball player?
Of course, Hank was considered, in our opinion, in Mobile, the best baseball player in the world. We, coming up as little kids, we always followed him. And, you know, Mobile is a city of great baseball players. We have 5 Hall of Famers led by Hank Aaron. And there's only 2 cities in the United States that have more, and that's Los Angeles and Chicago. So we are a baseball city, and we followed him, but not just as a baseball player, but as a man. He had, I mean, the man was just well liked by everybody, was participating in with everyone. He's the kind of person that is so humble with what he does, but he makes an impact everywhere he goes, and we're just so proud of him. And really a great loss to us, a great loss to this community as a whole, and a great loss to actually the history of baseball.
Representative Jones, you understand it, having been the mayor of Mobile and a very popular figure and played such a critical role in helping that community reflect and remember and honor Hank Aaron with so many different aspects. But you also remember, as your family does and your parents do as well, what that city was like, what the whole South was like. I don't want to point out Mobile because it was no different than any place else. But what can you tell younger people who did not live through that era, what it was like to grow up in at the time that Hank Aaron grew up in Mobile, Alabama?
It was very difficult. I don't think Hank ever got the kind of coverage he should have gotten for the accomplishments he had in baseball. He played in the Negro League, he as well as Satchel Paige and some others in Mobile. So initially he didn't get much coverage, and he was probably a great player way before anyone really knew his story. And a lot of it had to do with the way that things were handled during that time. We had a lot of racial issues. We had a lot of separation between the community. But, you know, he persevered. He worked through all of that. He always wanted to make sure that Jackie Robinson, who came before him, got his due. He wanted to make sure that people understand that he was a high achiever as well as all those other African-American players in the major leagues. And he was late getting into the major leagues, especially Satchel Paige, who was from here. And so when Hank did get in, he made an impact. He actually encouraged people throughout this community and throughout this country to continue to persevere until you can be recognized for what you've done and, I guess, be great like he was.
What was it like when you finally ascended to become the mayor? And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that Henry Aaron participated in your campaign. Is that correct?
Yes, correct. Hank has a good friend here, a guy named Tom Withers, who's been with him since childhood. And he suggested, why don't you call Hank? I think Hank would be interested in helping you. And he was. We had a fundraiser in Atlanta. He invited all his friends to the fundraiser. He did TV spots for us. He was interested in making sure Mobile moved forward. That was one of the things that he was totally committed to me. It really surprised me because he really didn't know me that well at that time. And it really surprised me how much he put into the effort. And he put a lot into it. And then would call me from time to time and say, tell me how things are going. He loved Mobile. His family loved Mobile. His father was very popular in our community, as well as his mother. And Hank at one time owned a home here on the water because his mother loved to fish. And he'd come down sometime and spend some time with his parents. And, he was just a great guy, just someone who would be sadly missed by everyone who knew him.
Representative, I'm interested in that because there are other baseball players, and I'm not going to mention another one who is really on the same level as Hank Aaron, who grew up about 250 miles north of where you grew up. And he had a conflicted history with his hometown because a lot of young people growing up in the segregated South, they progress, but they don't forget very easily. What was it about Hank Aaron that was able to move past that and be as proud of where he came from as you just got through saying?
Well, I think the kind of character that he had, he never forgot. But he didn't let that hold him back. He did not let that deter him from where he wanted to go and how he played the game. He was someone who always had in his mind what had happened to him, but he also had the goal of overcoming everything that happened in the past and chart a new future, not just for himself, but everyone else who was following in his footsteps and all the people he knew in this community.
Tell us the story about, number one, naming the ballpark after him, but I also remember you played a big role in making sure that the home he grew up in was became a major and important historical reminder, and I think the home was even moved to the ballpark, was it not?
It is. It's a childhood home. It's at Bay Area Stadium, which is really Hank Aaron Stadium. it's really where the Bay Bears played. But his home is on the grounds there. And when he had the opening of that, he had some of the greatest baseball players. Willie Mays was there, and Reggie Jackson was there. And, you know, just so many. These are all Hall of Famers who came in just to help Hank celebrate the moving of the home there. It was a great day for him. It was a great day for Mobile. So that was something that we really wanted to do in the community. We really wanted to honor him. In fact, the area around the downtown area, we have actually a roadway that goes around the city. It's called Hank Aaron Loop. So, and I really think that we need to do some other things to just let people know that this great baseball player, this great man, originated from Mobile, Alabama.
What an amazing story. The former mayor of Mobile, Sam Jones, now a state representative, remembering the late Hank Aaron. Thank you so much for sharing those stories. All the best to you, and we really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Paul.
You bet. Sam Jones joining us, and we will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. The new defensive coordinator at the University of Missouri coming up. If you missed the front part of the show, we had Bruce Feldman on, going up and down the list of the potential candidates at the University of Tennessee. He believes they could have a coach by this week. We'll update you on that. More of your phone calls when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Great to have all of you here. And Richard is on the phone from Mississippi. Hello, Richard. Good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you.
I want one more question about the hiring of the University of Tennessee coach, and mine is always a Hugh Freeze question. This is my last thought on the thing. Is it a job that you think that Hugh Freeze really wants? And I only say that for one reason, that this job appears to be, for a lot of people, a dream job, even though it don't look like it from the outside. But for Hugh Freeze, it could be a job that could just send him into, you know, into the conversation with the most prominent coaches, college coaches of all time, if he does somewhat what he does down at Mississippi. But it also could be a career-ending decision for him. I just want to get your thoughts on that, Paul.
There is risk anytime you go to a place that there are cards stacked against you, and there are cards that will be difficult to overcome. But I do think Hugh Freeze desperately wants this job. I sat in his office at Ole Miss about 5 or 6 years ago, and he told me the story of when he was on his honeymoon. He and his wife were driving through Knoxville. They drove up to the stadium and looked down into it, and he said, "Man, if I could ever work in this place, it would be the ultimate for me." And I don't think he ever lost sight of that, because he was telling me not that long ago. And I think it is that type of a job. Do I think he's going to get it? No, I don't think he is in the running. I think there are many things going against him. So I would take him off your board.
All right, Paul. I appreciate your insight on this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Yeah, maybe a couple of them. I mean, I think he's a fan favorite, but I think there are some significant roadblocks for him to get this job. Wayne is up next. Hey, Wayne, go right ahead.
Hello, Paul.
Hi there.
I don't know if anybody's mentioned this or not. It may have done been brought up, but I was giving some thought to after that gentleman was talking the other day about black coaches in the SEC, and there isn't any head coaches. I got to thinking, you know, Derek Mason would be a man that I think deserves a chance. We all know that he didn't get a full deck to work with down at Vanderbilt, and he's a fine coach and a fiery competitor. And I believe when the chancellor said she's looking for someone with high morals, I believe he would be representative of that too. So what do you think, Paul?
Well, Wayne, let me say this. I would agree with you in terms of Coach Mason's integrity and character. He is and represents all of that. But I think it would be very difficult to introduce him with his overall one-loss record. I think it would go over very poorly. Thank you for the suggestion, though. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Henry, who is up in Tennessee. Hello, Henry. You are next up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Go right ahead, Henry. You're on the air.
Yeah, my name is Henry. I'm an Alabama fan.
That's great.
Got your stuff going on about Tennessee.
Okay.
Has anybody ever said something about Gus Malzahn? I mean, he's coming out of the West. I don't think he got a job right now. And he already knows the SEC. Would that not be a good choice?
You know, I
what do you think?
Until I see their choice, ultimately, I wouldn't say he wouldn't be a good choice. I think Gus Malzahn is a good football coach, and you know, he has proven that. There's some obstacles at Auburn that he never could quite outrun, but I'm not exactly sure that would disqualify him for anything. You know, he collected about, what, $15 or $20 million in buyout money, so I don't think he's having to work like the rest of us every day to support our families, but they could do a lot worse than Gus Malzahn, and they may.
You got that right. I mean, you had one coach who come out of the West, went to Florida. I mean, it seemed like everybody won't get the Alabama coaches. Why don't you get somebody else besides Alabama coaches? Get somebody else out of the West. Well, I sort of thought Gus Malzahn would be a good candidate. I appreciate you taking my call. And have a good day, partner.
Thank you very much. Great to have you on. Alan is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Alan. You're next up.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
James Franklin has thumbs down from me because of the way he left Vanderbilt.
Alan, I didn't like the way he left either, and I had a confrontation with him right after that, and he was pretty ticked off at my reaction. But I said, I felt like he had just misled a number of his recruits and people and had left them high and dry, and he didn't seem to care one bit.
That's right. I agree. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that always bothered me, and I probably didn't help my relationship with James Franklin because we were pretty good friends, and I told him that on the air, and his reaction was quite priceless. I think he's a good coach, and you know, coaches leave places under mysterious circumstances all the time, but I thought that was one of the worst. Thank you very much for the call. And how about Brad up next? Hey, Brad, thank you, and good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Hey, man, I got a question. We don't know what punishments are coming down from the NCAA to Tennessee at this moment. Is that right?
That is correct. You're absolutely right.
So do you think that, I mean, any coach that takes this job has to be looking forward at his future? Tennessee also has to have some back channel communications, keeping up with the NCAA as to what these punishments may end up being. Do you think the coach that they name here in a couple of days could be a tell as to what type of punishments are coming down the line?
Yes. Brad, there is no doubt in my mind that there are back channel communications between Tennessee, whether it's directly or more than likely indirectly, on where this is going. And I also believe there are people who are probably encouraging the NCAA overall that if you waylay Tennessee for doing the right thing, you're sending the wrong message to the next school who won't do the right thing and will obfuscate and deceive like most schools do. So I think there is a lot on the line there, And I think Tennessee probably has a vague idea of where this is going, and I'm sure they're sharing that. You have to share that. You can't mislead a coaching candidate, or at least you can't do it in good conscience.
Do you think you could put your prediction hat on and say, if they hire someone like Tom Allen, that what do you think those infractions will be? And then if they end up hiring Franklin, what do you think those?
Yeah, no, I think that I don't want anybody to misread this because I think they're good coaches. But if you go to the Billy Napier, Bill Clark, Jamie Chadwell level, it's probably indicating you are going to get hit pretty bad. If you get a bigger name coach, a Luke Fickell, James Franklin, who Bruce Feldman mentioned, who else did he mention? A couple other significant
names. I've heard P.J. Fleck.
P.J. Fleck, yeah, you're absolutely right. He was the biggest. Then I think that's indicating that maybe Tennessee will take a bowl ban this year, which won't make any difference anyway because I doubt Tennessee will win enough games to go to a bowl game. And it might be – so, yeah, I think you can – it doesn't mean we're right, but I think you can certainly read something into it. But the one thing this job is offering, though, you go bargain hunting, whether it's for a house or whether it's for a car, or you go to a department store or Walmart or Costco. And the agent who represents the whoever gets this job is going to be able to negotiate a one-way deal. And you're going to get more than a general 4 or 5 year contract. You could get as many as 7 or 8 years. It will be guaranteed. There will be escalators in there that if the probation goes beyond a certain level, you'll get extra years or extra money. So it is going to be a fantastic contract. Not that most contracts are bad. But you can get a generic contract, or you can get a great deal. So there is some attraction, and I'll continue to say this until proven wrong, but the expectations of Tennessee are zero. This is not someone coming in after Philip Fulmer, who had won a national championship. This is someone coming in after Jeremy Pruitt, who proved to be incompetent and inept at this position. So it's not a hard act to follow. It's not hard at all. This isn't replacing Nick Saban. This is replacing Jeremy Pruitt. And because of that, it's easier because fans are thirsty. They're hungry. They're desperate to get behind a winner. You heard Danny White the other day at his press conference talk about social media, and he encouraged fans, be more positive. And that has been a problem at Tennessee. There's an air of negativity. I've had coaches who have been there before tell me, and I say this as a member of the media and as someone who had a reputation myself at one time, that the feeling is that the local media in Knoxville is as tough on the head coach at Tennessee as any place in the SEC. And that has turned people off. Now, whether that means that people like Butch Jones or Jeremy Pruitt were too thin-skinned or not really ready for prime time is a whole nother story. We'll take a break. More to come, more of your phone calls, and many more guests as we continue here on a Monday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back. We appreciate you being here on a Monday afternoon, and Butch is calling next. Good afternoon, Butch.
Paul, how you doing? I'm a few years older than you, and then oddly enough was born in Memphis, Tennessee.
Wonderful.
And everything, and I think you were as well, I think.
Yes.
And but I moved to Houston, Texas, right before my 11th birthday, was raised in Houston, and you went to games at Colt Stadium and then went eventually the Astrodome and whatever, and grew up in the era with Ernie Banks and Willie Mays and Roberto Clemente and Hank Aaron, and they were heroes of mine. I eventually became a college baseball player. But in my youth, I would go to the Dome and I would watch, and I'd kind of sit on the opposite side and look into the visitor's dugout. And it's no offense to Mr. Aaron or anything like that, but I used to watch him chain smoke in the dugout during the game, okay, and everything. And a lot of people did that, and you know, back in those days and all that did whatever, but I was awed by him. He was not a big man at all, but he had wrists that were like a 260-pound offensive lineman. I mean, he had huge wrists and everything. I worked like crazy with barbells trying to make my wrist like that. But it was the jeans. It wasn't that. But anyway, but I remember that man being so nice. I was with him a bunch of times, and I was at a Milo Hamilton dinner in Houston when he came back to honor Milo, because he made the great call
right,
on the radio, and it was his call because he was the home announcer. And met him and got to talk with him. Milo wanted me to meet him, and we became good friends and stuff and everything. What a gracious person. He had gained a bunch of weight by that time, but what a gracious person he was, and he was a hero of a lot of people. And I want to say this to people, this one big thing. 14 years earlier, when Roger Maris was trying to break Babe Ruth's record for the season, he got nasty letters and nasty phone calls where his hair was even coming out. He didn't even want to break the record. And he was a white man, okay? And I understand the way things are today, and they make a big thing about it and all that deal. And there's crazies that do that stuff. And Mr. Aaron got nasty letters and stuff like that, whatever. But for the baseball fans in America, they were so excited. And I think the ratings on TV, you would know that more than anybody. I mean, everybody was excited about Henry Aaron breaking that record, and they couldn't wait to watch until he did it and all that deal, whatever. And I had a Texas A&M of mine teammate, Doug Rao, who was on the Dodger bench when he broke the record, and Ralph Garr became a friend of mine, which was Henry Aaron's best friend. And then the umpire behind the home plate, when he hit the 714th home run, or 715th home run in Atlanta, was Satch Davidson, who became a friend of mine as well. He's not with us anymore. But so I know a lot of people were involved in that deal, whatever, and everybody wished for Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron was a class act. He wasn't a bad person. He was a great person. And there's a lot of people that really cared about him, and I just want to make that note.
What an amazing story. But Butch, thanks for sharing all that. You've lived quite a life.
Yeah, well, I'm a Texas A&M graduate, so I watch you all the time, so you better watch yourself.
Hey,
I'm playing.
Don't mess with Texas, man. Hey, thank you, Butch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no, I enjoyed it. Bye-bye.
What a great conversation there, and it was an amazing era. How about Bert in Birmingham? Hey, Bert, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Last week you mentioned something about Mark Emmert, time as president. I forget how you phrased it. He's probably going to be retiring or something along those lines. But made me think, how did you think it was odd that he became the president of the NCAA, considering three of the five schools he was at, there were scandals under his watch?
That's interesting. Yeah. I don't. I,
you know about?
Yeah, I mean, I know he was at LSU, Washington, and where else?
Well, there was a problem at Montana State.
Okay.
There was a coach and an athlete or something going on there. Then at LSU, there was the grade changing and stuff that came out after he left. And then at Connecticut.
Oh, Connecticut, yeah. I forgot he was there, too. You know, one thing about Emmert, I will tell you this, Bert. He had a great reputation as a college president. I think he's been a disaster as the president of the NCAA because he really is not a leader. He just he's an enabler. And we saw how ineffective he was or is during this past summer when he offered nothing in the controversy over whether we should have a football season or not. And I think his time is short, and it should be, and I'm not normally like that, but I think the NCAA is in desperate need of new leadership, and I think he has been very ineffective. I hope he goes soon. How about Steve up next in Ohio? Hey, Steve, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I'd like to talk about this Saturday's Senior Bowl.
Okay.
I was looking over the roster that came out today, and it came across Kylan Hill's name.
Right.
I was just wondering, you know, since he quit the team back in October, you know, how would he be eligible to play in the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, if I understand correctly, and he did, the Senior Bowl is invitation, and obviously there isn't a specific criterion whether you finish your season or not. So I've seen some strange invites over the years.
Right.
By the Senior Bowl, there's always a little bit of a local flavor down there. But I'm glad to see him get the opportunity. And I don't know everything that went into his departure from Mississippi State. And there are two sides of every story. But I do think Kylin Hill should be recognized for standing up at the time that he did and really, you know, being a symbol of leadership to a lot of people. So I'm glad he's getting that opportunity. I thought he was a phenomenal player. I wish he had finished at Mississippi State. They could have used him. But he's off to Mobile this week. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. The new athletic director at Mizzou. The new defensive coordinator at Mizzou. We've had the athletic director on, and he's not new. Coming back after this.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.